Hi, my name is Fred Neifer, and that's my wife Diana, who just did worship. And I'd like to welcome you here to Glendora Country Club to this first study. This is the first study of Well Done, Good and Faithful Servant, which is from Matthew 25:14. Kind of long for a fellowship name, but God gave it to my wife when it was confirmed by a couple pastors that was good, and that's what we've are going with. More about this in a bit. What are we? What is this about? Why are we engaging upon this? This ministry is looking to bring in and serve business owners, entrepreneurs, executives, managers, people that have a group underneath them that they're guiding, that they're leading, and that they're in charge of. The vision behind this is that by engaging here, you would lead as Jesus led and love as Jesus loved. So some of you here are here because you love me. But in the end, this is going to be an active ministry which is going to go forward for business owners and the people that have that vision of wanting to build. Builders used to be praised. Builders aren't praised anymore. They're called one percenters, and they're held in derision. Our goal is prayer and guidance through Scripture, a line-by-line study through the Old and New Testament, and through mentoring that comes through the years of experience that people have gained. So I'm going to look for the people that are starting to sit home and watch Fox News that have mastered running a business, that have mastered running a group. And I'm going to try and get them involved with the people that are in the fight. Well, I'll keep going here. Most things get answered as we move on. We will continue to recruit retired executives from private and public backgrounds. I'm going to try and get city planners. I'm going to try and get OSHA inspectors. I'm going to try and get city engineers. All the people that we ran up against or run up against and hit them like a brick wall. And so that a business owner that wants to expand, somebody that wants to start up a business that needs the licensing, that needs all the permitting, can ask questions. And that's going to come in the cup of coffee afterwards. But I'm going to look to build this over the next year. I think it's going to be slow, but I think it's going to be solid, because I think there's a lot of people that know they have something to give. And that if you look at our country, how many of us feel something is wrong? We can sit home or we can engage. So instead of screaming at Megyn Kelly or at whatever pundits on CNN, I'm going to come down here on Tuesday nights for the next year, and we're going to try and build something to get behind businesses. The end vision is to learn, embrace, and use wisdom from God's Word, retired executives, current business entrepreneurs, and more than anything else, prayer. The format that we're going to follow is pretty simple. We're going to meet here on Tuesday nights. We will have worship like we just did, 35 to 40 minute Bible study, an hour or so of fellowship and coffee. And we're going to try and create through these things, prayer requests, where people can be anonymous or they can say who they are, or these other sign-in sheets where somebody can say, I'm retired from the city of Glendora. I was an OSHA inspector, city building safety, and I'd like to make myself available. And we'll create some type of a book. Guys, I don't know how this is going to work out yet, but we'll figure it out. There's a lot of smart people in this room. The basics, I want to stay on time. Business owners don't suffer people that are late. all are welcome. And if somebody gets something out of this besides somebody in the business community, I welcome them. But right now we don't have childcare, and I don't believe that the studies would be good for the little ones. This is mainly an adult study. Number two, we're not collecting names and contact info from anybody. This is not where we're going to try and get you guys to drill holes in Africa, feed kids in Zimbabwe. That's not what this is about. The only people that we'll collect information from is the mentors, so that we have a way to get them with the business owners. And that will be kept under lock and key, that personal information. If anybody is soliciting or trying to sell something, please point them out to myself. There's going to be some regular men that catch on with this, and you need to point that out and say, that guy's collecting names over there. He's trying to use this place to sell something. We're going to run him right out through the door. That's not what this is about, to come here and make money off of people. This is not a good works group. We're here to pray, teach, and mentor. I'm not going to be saying in 6 months we're going to get everybody together and go build houses for humanity. This is a simple Tuesday night study where people can garner the Word of God, prayer, and hopefully information without having to have the guy behind the counter at the city say, "Who are you?" and then run an inspector by later. Where they can just simply ask questions in an informal atmosphere. I'd like the mentors that do decide to come and look after the younger business people just to be here 20 minutes early at 6:40 and just gather around and say, this guy's new, this guy's new. He's from FAA, or this guy's an IT guy. And we can start knowing who we each other are, so that we can point this out. Myself and Diana and some others will make ourselves available to pray over you. We would prefer men pray with men, women pray with women. That's the way we would like to see this thing go. Unless somebody comes up and says, I want as many people as you can get. And then we'll have a group up front in the open. But just to keep everything above board, that's the format. I'll give you some history on me. In 1962, I was born in Monrovia. My mother, Helen, was killed in a car accident 6 months later. My father raised us in Charter Oak, where I attended St. Louis de Marillac. The nuns and the priests, Father Walsh, were excellent people. I did not have the Saturday Night Live experience of abuse at the Catholic Church. It was a loving, warm time. And it was just a nice time growing up in that. Charter Oak was just heaven in the 70s. 1976, my father had remarried and moved us to upstate New York, 40 miles outside of Binghamton. These were the Jimmy Carter years. Before the Rust Belt in the Midwest, in Pennsylvania, southern Pennsylvania, there was a heavy industry all through upstate New York and through western Pennsylvania. And every little town 15 minutes away had a factory. Ours was Kodak, next town up was Borden's Chemical, next town up was Amphenol. And in these years, it was, if I had five friends, three of their parents were out of work. It was very common to see a jacket go from brother to brother to brother in the schools. Tennis shoes were the cheapest things you could get. There was none of what the kids out here have today. It was a very, very dark, poor. It was beautiful. I mean, it was rolling black walnut, oak, red oak. I mean, it was dairy farms, but the poverty and the alcoholism was mind-bending. And this upbringing, it plays so heavily, because if somebody had a job, you had fuel oil instead of cutting your own wood. You had gas for the stove instead of bottles that your old man would bring in. You had a car with square headlights, and you got a new jacket. And you weren't in the line where you got the chits, where the poor kids were, for breakfast and lunch. You were in the other line, and you had a dollar in your pocket. the poverty and the alcoholism, to be standing in the old man at my father's bar, have a guy cash his check across the bar and start drinking and buying drinks when his sons were my friends and they didn't have enough to eat. This played on me forever. And this thing that we would take in America and demonize people who create a job. How did we get here? That was hard. I went from like the Wonder Years to Deliverance. It was something. But it was, and these were good people whose jobs got shipped down to the Carolinas, Georgias, Alabama, or just disappeared overseas when Nixon opened up China and all the parts started floating across the ocean. It's funny, Nixon gets credit for opening up China, and what it did was it started the demise of manufacturing in the Northeast. Interesting how we write history. Acid rain killed the loggers. Family dairy farms were dying off, and it was a really depressed area. 78, my father opened a bar while we were there. The drinking age was 18. I was working behind the bar. There's one town cop. The township was the size of, I don't know, the 15 freeway to the 605 down to the 60. There's about 1,200 people. Very sparsely populated. And it was just a hard way to go. Easy for a 13-year-old kid to be a back bar and then start bartending 16, 17 years old. 82, I took it over. Long family history, if you care at all, I'll tell you later. 84, I was jilted and left at the altar. And in 84, you didn't just start texting people and say the wedding's off and sending out mass emails. You stood in front of the church with a bottle of Seven Crown in your hand and you just sort of nursed it, telling the people with the flowers, "Man, this ain't gonna work. How much can I get out of this for?" And the people with the food, "This ain't gonna work. How much can I get out of this for?" And that's what happened. It was a classic 5 hours before, jilted, left at the altar. So I came out to SoCal, met a cocktail waitress who said I could date her if I went to church with her. And that was Calvary Chapel, West Covina, and Raul Ries, where I made some fantastic friends and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Months later, I never saw her again. But God used that fishing lure, and he took me right down the center aisle, and it started a journey in my Christianity. So you would ask, how do I feel I have the right to get up here, or what gives me the credentials to get up here? And it's a long journey in the Calvary Chapel systems. So if you're wondering what the tenets are, what the statement of faith is, it is normal, non-denominational Protestantism. I believe in one God. I believe in the triune God. I believe in that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe that the Holy Spirit dwells within me as I have accepted Jesus Christ who died on the cross for me. And that is simple. If somebody comes in here to argue baptisms, I'm not going to get into it. Once saved, always saved, I may touch it, but that's not really what this is about. I'm assuming the people, because they hear it on the radio, coming in are going to be Christians. If somebody pulls me aside and says, "I hear you talking about God a lot, what does that mean?" We might have a sidebar and stuff, but this is not an evangelical. I'm not trying to turn people to Christ. I hope that happens. I hope that happens richly. And I hope that there are latent Christians that have been in the trenches in their businesses that turn to Christ and embrace him as they did when they first fell in love with him. That was Calvary Chapel, West Covina. I was involved in the first church plant there with a buddy of mine, Robert Pena. It was called East Los Angeles Christian Fellowship. We were down there for about 6 years. 1993, I moved to Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. In 1994, I married my precious wife, Diana. In 1997, we started KVAC Environmental. In the year 2000, we were in our second church plant. We went to Calvary Chapel, Ontario. The mother church moved one of the children's pastors back to the middle of Ontario to start a work, and we went with Mike Urcioli. 2001, we opened Cape Pure Waterworks. 2004 to 2007, we went to a couple different churches, and let me tell you, there's some crazy churches out there. There's some. I think that was the time that me and the kids and Andrew, we were in the desert, like just wandering. I'm telling you, you leave the safety where you're known of big Calvary and stuff, and oh my gosh, can it get crazy out there? 2007, we started a church in our living room that was our third church plant, pastored by a Nicaraguan missionary named Chad Lucio, and that became Refuge Church of Glendora. And 2016, we left Refuge, that's now, to start Well Done, Good and Faithful Servant, a fellowship to business owners. So let's get this together, just tie it together real quick. Saved in 84, married in 94. I have two beautiful kids and I have two grandkids. I don't know, in spite of us, they turned out well. They turned out fantastic. And my granddaughter's better looking than any of your granddaughters. me and Di have been the sole proprietors of KVAC Environmental and Cape Pure Waterworks. We have four locations, about 100 employees. So as I go down this path and I pontificate and I talk about where scriptures meet business people, where scriptures meet humanity, I've lived it. Through this journey since I've been here, starting up under the people that I've been around, tithing and ministry was never an option. This crazy guy that I got involved with, Robert Pena, he was just on you. You had to be in ministry and you lived ministry, and if you weren't tithing, you were not intimate with God. God had to be inside of every, I'm not gonna be asking for money, by the way. I'm just telling you the way that we came up. But through the years, that discipline has come into my life, and me and Diana have walked this together. So we've been involved in three church plants, and I've been in ministry continuously. Whether it was in parking lot ministry, whether it was in children's worship, whether it was in teaching 7 years old, 14 year old. At our last church, I was the assistant pastor, and I filled in the main sanctuary. So through all of this, I've been through Chuck Smith's tapes three times. He's guy who started Calvary Chapel, and I have pursued study forever. It's my passion. That is why I have the what I feel is the capability to move forward with this, and I am. And that's what the where we're starting with this. So 32 years later, God has brought me to this point to teach a group that I'm hoping God's going to give me. He's given me a heart for other business owners, and that is the man or woman that starts, runs, or leads a business or a group. I believe that today's business owner has never been more maligned, distrusted, disrespected, hunted by frivolous litigation. I can't tell you what lawyers have done to our business. I just can't tell you what frivolous tort and lawsuits. It's a wrecking ball to reinvestment and recapitalization. It is a nightmare. And they look at us the same. I mean, what was a license to license a truck in 1960, and what's it today, and by what percentage has it grown? Every single government entity, it's cost after cost after cost after cost. And to support what? How much are they changing the world for the better? There's some good things. We do need laws. We do need good streets and gutters. But we did not need to create a third entity to look at us as revenue sources. That was never the deal. Government was never to become its own humanity to consume for itself. An average FFA worker is making $175,000 a year. I remember that it used to be if you got into the county job, you got a lot of time off, you got some really good retirement, not the retirement that they have now, and you had to work. These people, firemen, nurses, I love them, we need them, but to retire at $155,000 for life at age 52, we desperately need these people. But they have turned this down where I believe some of the true 1% is in government. But it is government that is pulling this money out of the business community. And they are just squeezing us down and squeezing us down and squeezing us down. We are in an uproar at our company over lunches. And if they're 2 to 3 minutes late, what are the fines? And if the lawyers come in, how far back can they go? It's terrifying. On top of the taxation, we're taxed by city, we're taxed by county, we're taxed by state. This is crazy. And they're killing the goose that supplies the funds for America. We need to get behind business. It's terrible. Another thing with this 1% thing that our friends on the left and our president has been pushing, it has so permeated the society. They don't think that 1%ers anymore are the ones making the bazillions and the billions. If you've got something more than your neighbor, he's looking at you. If your competition can't catch up to you, they're thinking that you cheated because that you're there and they're not. This has went from a macro to a micro, do I got that right? Where it's gone from the big picture to now it is running through the different stratas of society. There are people that I know that would just soon buy a nice pickup truck because they ain't gonna buy the Mercedes, they don't wanna be seen driving it. And with business owners, what I hope that we bring to them is that as a business owner, your CPA can tell you, buy this car, and you're thinking it's good for taxes, you buy this car, and then you come up with $62,000 short for payroll. How in the guy in the most average church can turn to the guy in the pew next to him and says, I'm short for payroll? Oh, really, you got a problem? Yeah, I'm $62,000 short. Didn't you just drive in that new truck? The economies in the world that we live in is not what the average person does. And if you say that to the average Joe Sixpack sitting in the pew next to you, he'll look at you and say, I wish I had your problems, as you're terrified and go to the P.O. box twice and three times a day till Thursday night. They look at us different now. Something in America has changed. I believe we are a very tough and focused bunch. No matter what obstacles come, we fight and we claw and we keep going another day. Business people are just phenomenal people. They just don't know when to quit. They won't quit. They'll go to their last breath to get that last PO or get that last truck going out of the driveway. They just are a different people, and I got a heart for them. I get them. I understand them. I submit to you that this type of person I'm describing is the driving force of America. And in our country, the groups that we're coming down to are very clear. The old and the young, our kids and our elderly. And then there's those that have just dropped out of society, and it is heartbreaking to see the amount of people. I believe some of what marijuana is doing to it, maybe it was the affluent last century, but the amount of people that have just dropped out, they're not participating. And that includes disability and welfare. And these numbers are growing. When they talk about unemployment now, they talk about two numbers, the people that stopped looking for work and the people that are out of work. Because it's gone so much, it's a whole nother demographic. There's the workforce. There's all forms of government, city, state, and federal. They've created a world in which they can take what they want from us. Can anybody stop a change in the tax structure? It's their own group in Washington. It's their own group in the state. We have no say, and they come to us. And we have no say. And the ideologues can go and enact something to save a frog and have no supporting math. It is crazy. It is absolutely crazy what the farmers, because they hold to be Republicans, their water gets shut off in South Central Valley. And how do you fight back against this? But the amazing thing is, it's our taxes. We create jobs. We buy things that are taxed. We sell things that are taxed. We are the money movers and the shakers, and they cannot stop feeding off of us. And at the same time, they're reviling us. This is wrong. This is totally wrong. As the years go by, one after another, many owners create these insulated worlds. And a lot of times, their friends, they start to drift away because owners can be sullen. They can be, they can't stop thinking about work. The marriages get strained. Alcoholism and other things can take root. You can have resentful kids because you weren't there. The list is endless about what happens to these people through the years. To be able to sell, I've seen one people do it right. I've seen one people sell and get out. It's a lottery. It's a pipe dream. Most people, they don't have their books in line enough to even be approached. Selling is just for the average mom and pop with 50, 40 employees, it's hard. It's extremely hard to have that happen. It's hard. What I want to expound, the people that I want to expound to, is a living God that is interested in every aspect of your life, your family, your business, and where you end up after 40 years of trying to build something. Because the ones that end well, there's not a lot of them. I believe that if you put your trust in Jesus Christ, invite him into every aspect of your life through prayer, reading his word, and fellowship, that something changes. This all started for most people when they accepted Jesus Christ. To put it in a businessman's frame of mind, it was a contract, where we accept that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he took us into heaven. And there was a love affair. For some people, it lasted 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. But as the years go by, the business crowded that love affair out more and more. And once Satan has you alone, he's got you on the ropes, you're toast. Very flippant people talk about Satan, but it's wrong. It is absolutely wrong. We are in no way prepared to fight, deal, or battle him on his terms. But in this contract, this plan, this thing that we had, we invited Jesus Christ into our life. And what I'm saying is that contract was more than just for heaven. It has everything to do with maintaining a marriage during running a business and building a business. It has everything to do with maintaining a relationship with your kids. It has everything to do with your hires. It has everything to do with who you're going to fire. It has everything to do with how your integrity is going to be looked at. Are you a thief? Is that what being a Christian means? Or do your employees look at you as somebody that's going to make sure that they get paid and their insurance is going to work when they go to put the card in at Kaiser? Or they're going to have a retirement because you told them that you were. God is intimately invested in every single area of the businessman's life. And it isn't that of an arresting officer. What did you do? How did you spend that? It's to bring you peace when OSHA walks through the front door. It's to somehow get you off early because you promised your wife you'd go. It's to have that check show up on Thursday night to bring that payroll right straight across so that whatever it is, $25,000, $14,000, $6,000, $160,000 is there. And all those people that can't stand you go to the bank when there should be at their desk and deposit those checks. God is interested in all of this. And he is, I submit to you that if you draw nigh to God, Jesus will not only heal and comfort and mend, starting at whatever point you're at with him, but he will protect and gladiator. He will get out in front and he will fight city planning. He will fight for your conditional use permit. He will fight so you can get to a kid's play. He will fight to get inside your head and try and make you a better husband to the wife you've neglected. There is so much that God will do, but he has to be invited in. My wife one time told me that God is a total gentleman. And as long as you say you got it, he'll say, go for it. But if you say, well, what do you think about this? He'll say, well, you haven't read my word. And then he'll say, well, why don't you go to church? I'm too busy. Well, then I think you got this. He will speak to us through his word. He will speak to us through study. He will speak to us through the Holy Spirit. I got to tell you, I'm to the point where I walk into dispatch and I say, God, can you guide this conversation? I walk into the welder shop, fabrication. Lord God, please keep these guys safe. Can you guide this conversation? I don't know if you ever met welders. They're some of the most gnarly people, and they have no filter, absolutely none. Whatever goes through, it just comes right out. Welders are a different breed. They really are. And you need prayer before you go and talk to the welders. But they're just honest. They deal in 1,700-degree steel. They deal in tonnages. And there's you can't lie in there because somebody's going to die quickly, I guess. James 4:8 says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. And he will infect every part of your life. Personally, your health, family, business, taxes. Oh my gosh, taxes. Just the word makes me want to say, God, where are you? Tirelessly working through your clan from the janitor to the controller. Whether pitching a sale, buying supplies, hiring an employee, firing a vendor, all of your existence brought before Jesus Christ. That's what this study is about. That's who I'm trying to reach. And know ye this, God wants your heart, but if you operate your life around these three tenets, God will increase your borders as you submit to him. I don't know how it works. I don't know why it works. I do not know God's economy. I only can tell you that we have kept in prayer, in the word, and in fellowship. And there's another couple I know that did the same thing, and you just watch their business grow. I'm not saying that this is a quid pro quo. I'm not saying that you say your prayer and then it's pay me. I did your prayer, Lord. Now I want the money. This is not a name it and claim it deal. This is a lifestyle centered around Jesus Christ. This ministry, as do most, has a foundational scripture. Ours is the parable of the talents. In Matthew 25:14, I'm going to read this. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who has called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. In context, this is the Holy Spirit being left in our lives, and the good news is being given to us, the good news of Jesus Christ. In context, that's what this is about. But to business owners, it is far deeper. This parable, I think, is just for us. Then he who had received 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, but I will make you ruler over many. Guys, when it comes to this thing that we call business, we are given bodies, people, humanities. We are given steel. We are given tires. We are given rolling stock. We are given buildings. We are given loans. We are given much. And God gives them to us because the average Joe does not know what to do with them. But we do. Every building that I built out, I could see the whole plant inside it before I did it. Every truck I outfitted, I could just look and know exactly where I wanted the pumps, the tower inside, the cab, the hydraulics. I could see before it was. That's what you are. You have a vision. And you take capital, you take resources that God has given you, and you turn it into something out of thin air that never existed. You don't see lines on a paper. What you see is a building, and you walk through the hallways. You walk up the stairs, and you turn around, and you say, that's where I'm putting the filing cabinets. You can see it in your mind. That's what we do. God gave these things to us, and we are to use them for the glory of God. And what I hope is that we can pull people out of foxholes, restore marriages, restore the fight where people were when they first started a business, and put the glint back in their eyes, knowing that there's an 800-pound gorilla in the room, and his name is Jesus Christ. And it's gunning for us, not against us. That's about it. A dear friend of mine told me that a good place to go to is Nehemiah. Our first study is going to be one of the servants to a Chaldean king that came back into Judea well after the Babylonians had destroyed Judah. Ezra, prior book, talked about rebuilding of the temple. It was Nehemiah who came in, built the wall, and restored the community and the structure to the Jewish life, which allowed the temple to take off. So we're going to be going through Nehemiah. I gave you a lot of information that I just wanted to get out. Business people want to know who they're getting into bed with. I get it, you know. They need an explanation. So I gave you the behind the scenes. Next week, we'll be starting in Nehemiah, and we will be going forth line by line through a book. We won't be going through topical studies. And that brings us to an end. I'm going to do something Chuck Smith always did. If you know what it is, please follow along. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee,
and keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace.